How many of you have ever been driving in your car and you say something like, people are crazy? Now, nobody yelled that on the street. Where did you get that? Observation. You're observing and you're like, people are crazy. And your child says, Mom, why do you say that? Well, this guy right here, you know, I was leaving 2-3 car lengths between me and the next car like I'm supposed to. This guy came from 3 cars back, flew up the side, and pulled in here, and now I don't have 2 or 3 cars. The people are crazy. Well, okay, you drew that out of observation. And a lot of us wouldn't argue. That guy's crazy. He's only 2 car lengths ahead, and he just risked his life to get there. Well, there are things that there are truths, important truths, that you can gain from Scripture by observation. So you're looking and you're thinking, is the Spirit of God teaching anything here about practical life and ministry? So take a look, verses 11 and 12, and look at verse 11. I long to see you. Stop there. Now, I can give you a truth statement. It's not an eternal truth. It's a locked-in time truth. Paul longed to see the Romans. But Paul is an example, and he's a Christian. So here you have a Christian who longed to see another group of Christians. So now here's a question. Is it a good thing if a Christian longs to see another group of Christians? You could say, well, that'd be a good thing. So then you could say, why did he long to see the other group of Christians? So that he could impart to them some spiritual gift in order that they could be established. Now, can you make any truth statement from all of that?
We should desire to fellowship with one another in order to edify each other by imparting the knowledge of God's word and giving the gift of that truth to each other.
Okay.
So we can be firmly established and better served.
Right. So, now again, always strive to be accurate, and one of the keys to accuracy is saying less. Right. There's profit in being concise. So, for example, if you just use the words of the text, I could say to you, do you see in verse 11 how Paul longed to see the saints in Rome? Yep, because we know he's talking to the saints in Rome. Do you see how Paul longed to see the saints in Rome? And you look at that and you go, I see that. Do you see why he longed to see the saints in Rome? You look at it and you go, oh, it was so that he could impart some spiritual gift, whatever that means, which we'd have to define. Do you see why he wanted to impart some spiritual gift? And you look again and you go, oh, it was so that they would be established. And now watch. You know what a good goal is of wanting to be with other Christians? Wanting them to be established. Like, you're not coming for you. But do you get something out of it? Verse 12. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. You know, sometimes not everyone asks, but like, I sent a text to Steve Browning the other day and said, hey, want to get together for lunch today this week? Yeah. And he could have said, why? And you know what I would have said? Mutual encouragement. That's my answer to that question if you ever ask me. Well, unless I got something that I got to cover with you. But generally, I'll be like, hey, want to get together for breakfast? Sure. What's up? Mutual encouragement. I have a little note in my office that says, one of my goals in meeting with other people in the church is Romans 1:12. I want to be encouraged too, and I want to encourage you. And I was encouraged by getting together today. Good sandwich and good encouragement. So what if I said, one of the great goals of Christian ministry, Christian fellowship, is simply mutual encouragement. Where do you get that? Romans 1:12. Well, Romans 1:12 doesn't say that. No, it doesn't, but it teaches it. See that? That's the goal here. Is that, and that's why I said, let's go through the theology of Romans and learn to draw out truths about God and Christ and the Bible and the Spirit and angels and demons and practical Christian living and end times, so that you learn to do that, so that you get more out of your Bible reading, but also for mutual encouragement. All right? The dreaded bell. Our time is up. It went fast. It went fast for me. I hope it did for you also. Sure.
People copy and paste scriptures to meet their point or their means or their, you know, and so this is teaching us to be discerning and think logically about not taking things up.
Right. And also be careful when you hear someone else saying something, like to be looking and going, does that say that? Does that teach that? You know, if somebody goes to John 4 and says, now clearly Jesus is all for drinking wine. Well, that's not what that says. Jesus turned water into wine is one of the first signs, right? But it didn't say Jesus is all for drinking wine. So if somebody draws that out of there, you go, well, hang on. I don't think that's what that's teaching. Yeah, as a sign, he turned water into wine, but I don't know that that's teaching that he's all for drinking wine. So you want to be discerning about what people are drawing out of Scripture, including me. You want to be discerning about what I'm drawing out of Scripture. All right, with that, we will close. Any urgent prayer requests tonight?
I'm with praise as well as prayer. I've got a note. Actually, I talked to Miss Morris. And she is in Wyoming, heading to Utah in the near future. But she's doing better.